Kia ora, and hello, friends. Welcome to Faithfully Explore. I'm Laura, your campfire guide for today's adventure. Gather around our imaginary fire and get cozy. Hear that crackling? Now peek up at the big night sky above. Our question for tonight, what can the stars teach us? We're going on a stargazing journey across cultures and beliefs. We'll visit Aotearoa, or as you may know it, New Zealand, to learn about Matariki, the Maori New Year, marked by a special cluster of stars. We'll discover how the same cluster appears in Japan, ancient Greece, and elsewhere around the globe. We'll sail the ocean with Polynesian navigators, just like Moana in the Disney films, using stars as our guide. But first, let's all take a deep breath of the cool night air, feel the night breeze, and the warmth of the fire. I am so excited you're here with me under these stars.
Faithfully explore is the name. Learning together is our aim. Beliefs around the global track. Filling up our belief backpack.
Our adventure today was inspired by a journey I actually took. To start the new year of 2025, I was in New Zealand, or Aotearoa, as the Maori call it. While I was there, I learned that each winter, which in New Zealand is around late June or early July, something magical happens in the early morning sky. As dawn breaks on a chilly mid-year morning, a small cluster of stars rises above the horizon. Maori people call this star cluster Matariki, and its first appearance marks the beginning of the Maori New Year. Isn't that cool? Instead of January 1st, a new year begins when Matariki shows up. It's like a cluster of friends returning each year to say, Kia ora! Hello! Matariki is actually the Pleiades star cluster, a tight little group of stars snuggled together. Though there are hundreds of stars in that cluster, usually only six or seven are visible without a telescope. Maori astronomers long ago studied these stars very closely. They even noticed that sometimes you can spot nine stars. Today, many people talk about Matariki's nine stars rather than seven. Each of these stars has a name and a special job in Maori tradition. Want to hear their names? Let's say a few together. Before we do, I wanted to talk about pronunciation. I try really hard to get things right. I look up how to say words, watch videos, and practice. But I'm quite sure there are still times that I don't get it right. Just know that I am trying. And if I do get it wrong, please send me an email so that I can do better next time. The first word that we want to practice today is Matariki. Matariki is the name of the whole cluster and one special star in the cluster. Matariki is often seen as the mother of the other stars, watching over them. She symbolizes reflection, hope, and well-being. Matariki is like the big warm star mom who encourages everyone. Next, we have Pohutukawa. This star connects to those who have passed away. Maori people remember and honor loved ones when they see Pohutukawa shining. It's said that when someone dies, their spirit becomes a star in the sky. So under Matariki, families might cry out the names of those lost during the last year, sending love to their ancestors shining above. After that is Tupuamuku. This star is all about food from the earth. Think of veggies like sweet potatoes, or they call them kumara, and all the yummy things that grow in the ground. If Tupuamuku shines brightly, It hints that gardens will be plentiful. Next, we'll see Tupuarangi. This one cares for food from the sky. That includes birds and fruit from trees. Long ago, if Tupuarangi looked dim, Maori knew there might be fewer birds or fruits to gather that year. Soon we'll see the twins. First, Waiti. She watches over fresh water and the creatures in streams and lakes. When Waiti is clear and bright, freshwater foods like eels will be abundant. If she's faint, uh-oh, maybe the river harvest will be small. Next to her is Waita. He's Waiti's twin, and he is responsible for the ocean and sea life. All the fish, shellfish, and seaweed, Waita watches them. Matariki rising low over the water is even said to affect the tides, so Waita is super important for fisher folk planning for the year. The following star is Waipunarangi. Her name means water that pools in the sky, which gives us a clue. She's connected to rain. All the rain that nourishes the earth are under Waipuarangi's care. If she's hard to see, it could mean a very rainy, wet year ahead. Afterwards is Ururangi. This lively star is in charge of the winds. Gentle breezes or wild gales, Ururangi determines what winds will blow. A dim Ururangi might signal strong winds on the way, while a clear one means calmer skies. Last up is Hiwaitarangi, the youngest star. She is my favorite because she's like a wishing star. Hiwaitarangi is where people place their dreams and hopes for the coming year, just like making a New Year's resolution or wishing on a star. Maori would send their aspirations up to Hiwa so that she might help them come true. Wow! Each star is like a member of a family with its own personality and role. Through Matariki, people remember that all parts of nature and life are connected. That was a lot of star knowledge, wasn't it? Let's take a quick movement break to get those wiggles out and remember the stars. First, reach down and touch the ground for Tupuanuku. That's the food in the soil. Pretend you're picking a sweet potato. Got it? Good. Now stretch your arms up high like branches for Tupuarangi, reaching for fruits in the trees and birds in the sky. Stretch, stretch, and pluck a mango. Wiggle your fingers in front of you like flowing water for Waiti, our freshwater streams. Make little fishy motions with your hands. Swim, swim. Next, make a wide wave with your arms for Waita, the ocean. Whoosh your arms like big waves. Excellent ocean waves, everyone. Now flutter your fingers down from the sky for Waipunarangi, the rain. Let's hear your rain sound. Wiggle your fingers and go pitter-patter, pitter-patter, pitter-patter. Let's take a deep breath and blow out for Ururangi, the wind. Can you spin around like a little whirlwind? Just don't get too dizzy. Finally, clasp your hands to your heart and then open them to the sky for Hiwaitirangi, making a wish. Think of a hope you have and send it upward. Great job! We just moved our bodies for all the realms that Matariki's stars care for. So what do people do for Matariki, the Maori New Year? Traditionally, it was a time for reflection, remembrance, and renewal. Families would wake up before dawn to try and catch a glimpse of Matariki rising in the east. It takes some effort. Brr, it's cold and dark that early. When they saw those tiny stars, they held ceremonies. They would remember loved ones who'd passed away during the year. calling out their name so Pohutukawa could carry their memories to the sky. People also would offer food to the stars, perhaps a portion of their harvest, as a sign of gratitude, and to feed the stars that feed us. Then came feasting and celebration. Communities gathered to share food, tell stories, fly kites, and light lanterns. It was a time to plan for the future, too. Remember Hiwa Iti Rangi, the wishing star? Families would talk about their goals or resolutions for the new year and send those intentions to Hiwa, hoping for good fortune. Maori follow a lunar calendar, not the calendar we use. Matariki celebrations usually last several days after the stars rise first, often timed with certain moon phases. During this period, people might plant new crops or trees, symbolizing new life, or simply spend time together outdoors, observing the environment. For a while in the 20th century, fewer people observed it, but since the 1990s, it's become popular again. In fact, as of 2022, Matariki is an official public holiday in New Zealand. The whole country gets a day off to celebrate the Maori New Year and Indigenous knowledge. Today, everyone in New Zealand, whether Maori or not, is invited to take part, to reflect, feast, and look at the stars together. Talk about unity under the night sky. Everyone on Earth sees the same stars when they look up, just at different times of the year. And guess what? Many cultures around the world have noticed this little cluster and made up their own names and stories for it. In Japan, the Pleiades are called Subaru. Yes, like the car brand Subaru. And that's not a coincidence. The car's logo has six stars and an oval. That might have just made you wonder why six stars and not seven. It's because in the Subaru logo, they show the six brightest stars of the cluster. One of the stars is often hard to see. Subaru in Japanese means to unite or to gather together, and it refers to this cluster of stars united in the sky. Pretty neat that a car company chose an ancient star name. If you ever ride in a Subaru car, you can say, "Hey, I know those stars on the logo." A long time ago in ancient Greece, storytellers looked up and saw those stars as seven sisters. Greek mythology called them the Pleiades. According to one popular Greek legend, these sisters were being chased by a giant hunter, Orion. Orion fell in love with the sisters and pursued them relentlessly for years. The mighty god Zeus took pity on the sisters and transformed them first into doves and then into stars, placing them safely in the sky. In the sky, they formed the Pleiades cluster. Orion the hunter also was set among the stars, and he still appears to be chasing the seven sisters across the night. If you find Orion's belt in the sky and look nearby, you might see the Pleiades not far away, forever out of his reach. Spooky or romantic? You decide. Some versions of the myth say one of the seven sisters fell in love with a mortal, and so she hides her face, which is why typically only six stars are clearly visible. Farmers in ancient Greece noted when the Pleiades rose or set to mark seasons for sailing or harvesting. The Pleiades spark stories almost everywhere on Earth. In Hawaii, the cluster is called Makalihi, and its first rising marks the start of Makahiki, a winter New Year festival of harvest and peace. It's similar to Matariki, but it happens in November or December. In Native American tales, some tribes say the stars are seven children who went to live in the sky. One beautiful story from the Kiowa people tells of seven girls who fled from a big bear. They climbed a small rock, prayed for help, and the Great Spirit made the rock rise into the sky to save them. The bear clawed at the rock, creating the cracks in Devil's Tower, which is a famous rock formation. and the girls floated into the heavens to become the Pleiades. Across Asia, Africa, Europe, so many people used this cluster as a calendar sign or told myths about it. It might be humanity's oldest story, connecting us across continents. Isn't it amazing? People gazing at the same little cluster and making meaning from it. So next time you see the Pleiades or Matariki, remember, you're sharing a view with the whole world. Now, stars don't just tell stories or calendars. They can also tell you directions. For thousands of years, people traveled long distances by reading the stars. One of the most impressive examples? The Polynesians, the skilled navigators who explored the vast Pacific Ocean. We're talking about voyages canoeing from island to island over thousands of kilometers of open sea without modern instruments. No GPS, no compass, just nature's clues. How did they do it? Stars. Plus the moon, sun, ocean swells, birds, and more. Have you seen the Disney movie Moana? In Moana, the hero Moana discovers her people used to be voyagers and sets sail on a quest, guided by the wisdom of her ancestors. She meets Maui, the demigod, and together they sail across the ocean to restore the heart of Te Fiti. One of the coolest scenes is when Maui teaches Moana about wayfinding. Do you remember that?
It's called Wayfinding, Princess. It's not just sails and knots. It's seeing where you're going in your mind, knowing where you are by knowing where you've been.
Maui was explaining a real skill, navigating by forming a mental map, using the stars and other cues. In Moana, you see Moana practice this. At night on the canoe, she uses her hand to measure the height of the stars above the horizon. She even uses the constellation of Maui's fishhook to orient herself. These details were carefully researched. The filmmakers consulted a board of Polynesian navigators and cultural experts to get it right. The way Moana learns to sail by the stars is remarkably accurate to how real Polynesian wayfinders do it. If you were a navigator on a voyaging canoe in the Pacific, here's what you'd do. First, you'd memorize a sort of star map. Certain bright stars rise and set at predictable points on the horizon. For example, one star might always rise in the east and set in the west. Another might rise in the northeast and set in the northwest. Navigators learn the rising and setting points of dozens of stars. That way, when they see a star in the evening coming up, they know, oh, that star rises in the east. So that direction is east. If they want to sail east, they just keep that star a little to their left. By dawn, another star might be setting exactly west, confirming their course. It's like having a compass made of stars. In Moana's world, set about 2,000 years ago near Samoa, navigators would rely on stars like the Southern Cross and others like Te Ka to gauge their position. Did you notice Moana holding out her arm and using her hand span against the sky? That is a real trick. By holding your hand at arm's length, different finger spans measure degrees of an angle. For instance, a shaka sign, which is when you put your thumb and pinky out, is about 20 degrees from thumb tip to pinky tip when it's arm's length away. Navigators use this to measure how high a star is. Why? Because the height of a certain star above the horizon can tell you your latitude, which means how far north or south you are. During the day or when clouds would cover the stars, wayfinders didn't just throw up their hands and say, "We're lost." Instead, they would look for other clues. They might look at the ocean swell. Waves have patterns that indicate directions of which way the wind is coming from. They might notice the flight pattern of birds, Some birds fly out to sea in the morning to fish and return to land at night. If you follow them, you can find land. Even the smell of the air or debris floating on water was a clue to them. Amazing, right? They were like detectives reading nature's signposts. Using these skills, Polynesians explored a triangle of the Pacific from Hawaii to the north, to the Easter Islands to the east, to New Zealand to the south, and beyond. They may have even reached South America before Europeans did. These voyages were done in double-hulled canoes with nothing but what they carried and what the sky and sea provided. Talk about bravery and brilliance. In the story of Moana, her people had stopped voyaging for a long time, but she rediscovered the knowledge and led them to sail again. This mirrors real history. There was a long pause in Polynesian long-distance voyages centuries ago, but today there's been a big revival. Modern navigators, like those of the Polynesian Voyaging Society in Hawaii, have relearned the art of wayfinding and sailed traditional canoes across the world to show it's not a lost art. Disney's Moana definitely fired up a lot of interest in this heritage. Scenes like Moana putting her hand to the sky gave kids everywhere a glimpse of how it works. The second Moana film also continues to highlight this tradition. I won't give spoilers, but Moana's people keep using the stars to try to connect with others and voyage farther. So whether you're in a story or real life, the stars can guide you if you know how to read them. Next time you're at a beach at night, look up. Find the brightest star or constellation. Imagine your Moana on her canoe, using that star to aim your way. It's like magic. But it's real! After all that star talk, let's play a quick game to check our star savvy. It's called Name That Star Cluster. I'll call out a description and you shout out which cluster or star name it matches. First, we have a cluster of 7 or 9 stars that marks the new year and where each star has a special job. Matariki! Yes, that's the Maori New Year stars. A name meaning to unite. Also a car brand. Subaru, correct. Our Japanese friend's name for Pleiades. A story of 7 sisters chased by a hunter placed in the sky by Zeus. The 7 sisters, Greek mythology's Pleiades. Well done! Stars that a Polynesian navigator like Moana would use to sail. Trick question. It's all of them. Polynesian wayfinders used Matariki and many other stars. You all did stellar! Pun intended. Now that our brains are buzzing and we're basically junior astronomers, I think it's time to settle in for a story. Gather close to the imaginary campfire. This is a special story from the Maori tradition about how the Matariki stars came to be. Long, long ago, in the time of legends, the ocean was dark and deep. In the waters near Aotearoa, there lived a mother fish and her 7 little children. The mother fish loved her tamariki, her children, more than anything in the sea. Every day, mother fish would take care of her 7 little ones, and every evening she would warn them,
"My darlings, never stray far from the rocks. In the open ocean lurks Tataramaka, the giant. He casts huge nets to catch whatever he can. Promise you'll stay near our coral home."
The 7 young fish always chorused,
We promise, Mother.
One morning, Mother Fish realized their food supply was low. She gathered her little fish in a circle. She said gently,
I must travel farther out to find us food today. Remember, stay near the rocks and do not go exploring alone.
The seven fish bobbed their heads and replied,
Yes, Mother, we'll stay and play here.
Be safe.
Off Mother Fish went, swishing her tail, disappearing into the blue depths to find something tasty. The seven fish siblings played hide and seek among the kelp and the nooks of the reef. But as you might guess, seven young ones together can get a little mischievous. After a while, one of the fish peeked out beyond the rocks into the open water.
Siblings, the sea is so calm today. Look how the sunlight dances. It looks so fun out there.
Another fish twirled in excitement.
Maybe we can go for just a short swim in the open. Mother will mind if we stay together, right?
They remembered Mother's warning about Tataremaka, the giant. They glanced around. No sign of any giant. The water looked peaceful and inviting. The oldest little fish said,
Mother will be back soon. Surely it's fine.
So one by one, the seven fish left the safety of the rocks and ventured into the open sea. At first, it was glorious. They chased each other in circles, darting in the sunbeam, flipping their fins. They laughed with gurgling, fishy giggles, feeling free and brave. But their fun was about to turn into danger, because lurking in the deep was Tataremaka, the giant. He was part human, part ogre, with arms strong as whale tails, and a hunger as vast as the ocean. He loved nothing more than catching fish. The more, the better. From a shadowy crevice, Tataremaka saw the shining shapes of seven little fish venturing out. He chuckled lowly.
Fishies for my breakfast.
He grabbed his enormous harakiki net, woven from thick flax, and with a mighty heave, cast it wide across the water. Before the seven fish knew what was happening, darkness fell all around them. The net closed in.
What's happening?
Cried one.
It's a net. We're caught.
Screamed another, flapping against the knotted walls. They tried to swim down, up, any direction, but the openings were all too small. Ga let out a booming laugh, waiting toward his catch.
I got you, little fishes!
He roared. The fish were trapped and terrified. They had remembered their mother's warning too late. They huddled together as the giant's rough hands started to pull up the net. In panic, the seven fish began to cry. Their tears flowed into the water, salty and shimmering. They cried for their mother, for each other, for the home they might never see again. So many tears they mingled with the sea, and it said, that's why the ocean is salty to this day. But all hope was not lost. The children's desperate cries did not go unheard. Far away in the depths of the great forest above the sea, Tane was listening. Tane is a powerful god in Maori lore. He loved all the creatures, land and sea. And when Tane heard the pitiful crying of the seven fish, his heart filled with compassion. He rushed to the seashore and saw the terrible sight, a giant hauling a net, wriggling with little fish, and those fish crying out in fear. Tane's eyes flashed with anger at the giant's cruelty. He decided to intervene. With the strength of 100 lions, Tane leapt from the shore right at Tataremaka. The giant bellowed in surprise as this god tackled him. They splashed and wrestled in the shallow water, sending waves crashing. The net was dropped in the tussle, but the giant still had it wrapped around his forearm. and the fish were being jostled and squeezed. Tane knew he must free them. Summoning his power, Tane gave one mighty rip. He tore the Harekiki neck away from Tate Rangmaka's grasp. The giant howled as his precious net and the fish in it went flying from his hands, straight up into the sky. Up, up, the net full of fish flew, higher and higher until it reached the heavens. The seven fish, still entangled, found themselves among the stars. Then, in a burst of divine magic, the net opened, and the fish transformed, each turning into a tiny, bright star. They clustered together, seven new stars glowing kindly down on the world. Tane, standing below in the surf, smiled and spoke gently.
Little ones, you are safe now. You will shine forever, a reminder to listen to your mothers and remain united.
And to Tate Rangmaka, who was cowering in fear of Tane's wrath, Tane said,
"Begone, giant. You will catch no more innocent lives today."
Ashamed and defeated, Tate Rangmaka slunk away, never to bother that reef again. Or so we hope. As dawn broke that day, Mother Fish returned to the reef with food, only to find her children gone. Frantic, she searched and searched, but they were nowhere in the sea. Lifting her gaze sadly upward, she noticed a new cluster of seven stars twinkling in the early morning sky. In those stars, she felt the presence of her children. She whispered,
"My babies."
Although heartbroken that they were not with her in the ocean, she knew that they were safe in the sky, placed there by a great guardian. From that time on, the cluster of seven stars shone every winter. Maori people named that star cluster Matariki. And some say those seven fish siblings are the very stars who signal the new year. And so each year when Matariki rises, we remember the story of the mother fish and her tamariki, the giant, and Tane's rescue. We remember that even in dark times, someone may be watching over us. And we remember those shining little ones, now guiding us as stars. I love that story. It's both exciting and heartwarming. This is a perfect time for a friendship bridge, where we connect ideas across different beliefs or cultures and find common ground. Think of the sky as a big, big blanket that covers everyone in the world. No matter where we live, we all sleep under that blanket of stars. A child in New Zealand might look up and say,
"Look, Matariki is here. Happy New Year."
Meanwhile, a child in Japan might see the same cluster and shout,
"Subaru! Those are my favorite stars!"
A Greek student might learn in school about the Seven Sisters, and a Hawaiian kid might hear elders talk about Makalilihi and the Makahiki festival. Different languages, different traditions, one sky. The Maori celebration of Matariki emphasizes gratitude, remembrance, and hope. This reminds me, in the Jewish faith, there's a new year, Rosh Hashanah, where people reflect on the past year and hope for a sweet new year, often symbolized by apples and honey. In the Lunar New Year, families come together to remember ancestors and look forward to blessings in the coming year, under fireworks and lantern light. Around New Year's, some might set resolutions to be better, similar to sending wishes to Hiwa Iti Arangi in the Maori way. Even within religions, stars show up as guides. Think of the Star of Bethlehem in Christian tradition, guiding the wise men to baby Jesus. Or in Islam, the stars and moon are important for the calendar of holidays. In Hinduism, there are astrology traditions linking stars to our lives. It seems humans everywhere have looked up at the stars and felt something bigger than themselves, whether that's a connection to the divine, to nature, or to their community. Maybe you can build a friendship bridge in your life. Share a story from your culture with a friend and ask for one from theirs. Or simply go stargazing together and share what you each know. When we do that, we make the world a little smaller and a little friendlier. All right, I'm feeling the love and unity. Now let's have some fun with what we've learned before we wrap up. How about a round of constellation charades? Here's how it works, explorers. I'll give a hint, and you guess what I am. Something related to the stars we talked about. Then do an action to show your guess. Clue one. I'm a fierce giant stomping around with a big net. I'm looking for naughty fish to catch. Who am I? Yes, Tataramaka, the giant from our story. The net probably gave it away. Great job! Clue two. I was very sad, but now I sparkle. I used to swim. Now I shine. Who are we? That's right, the seven little fish turned into stars. The Matariki star siblings. You all have sharp memories. Clue number three. I'm on a journey. I hold out my hand to measure the sky. I never get lost because my map is above me. Who am I? Did you say Moana or a Polynesian wayfinder? Way to go! Clue number four. We're sisters. We stick together. Uh-oh, someone's chasing us. Quick, flap like birds and fly to safety. That was the seven sisters of Greek myth flying away from Orion. Clue number five. Vroom, vroom. I have six stars on my logo. Honk, honk. What car brand am I? Subaru! Beep, beep. Star car coming through. Fantastic. I wish I could have seen you doing the charades. I bet your Tataramaka impressions were truly giant-like. This game shows we remember it a lot. Now it's challenge time. This week's challenge is inspired by Matariki's spirit of reflection and looking forward, but with a special twist. Our challenge is for you to make your own Matariki resolution, but one that helps the Earth. Think of something positive you can do in the coming year that isn't just about yourself, but about caring for our planet, which gives us those beautiful stars and everything else. It should be something realistic. That means something you can truly try to do. Once you have your special resolution, write it down or draw it. I've made a fun downloadable printable for you on my website. You can print it and fill it in. Maybe your resolution will be, I will plant a community garden, or I will turn off the lights when I leave a room to save energy, or I will learn about endangered animals and tell others. Use your imagination and your heart. The Earth needs heroes of all kinds, and you can be a star for the Earth. I'd love to see what you come up with. If you want, have a parent share your Matariki Earth resolution with us. And we might feature it in a future episode or on our website. Good luck, young eco-friendly stargazers. We've traveled far and wide in this episode. From the oceans of Polynesia to the hills of Greece. From ancient times to Disney movies. from the earth to the sky and back again. Now, as we pack up our campsite under the stars, let's talk about what we're putting in our belief backpacks. These are the key lessons or values we want to carry with us wherever we go. Think about everything we experienced. If I could bundle it up, I'd say the stars teach us humility and connection. Humility, because when you look up at the night sky, you realize how vast the universe is and how small we are. And yet, how special that we can be a part of it. Connection, because no matter our differences, we share the same stars, the same earth, and we can find common ground in that shared experience. Whenever you feel small or alone, you can open that backpack in your mind, pull out that idea, and feel connected to everyone else who might be looking at the moon or stars at that very moment. It's a comforting thought. So our belief backpack items for today are humility and connection. Got them? Zipped up? Great. Those will shine inside you, even on a cloudy day. My friends, as our campfire dies down and we start to yawn, let me give you a teaser for our next adventure. Next time on Faithfully Explore, we'll dive into the meaning of baptism, visit different Christian communities to see how they celebrate with water in different forms of baptism. We'll explore why water is so important as a symbol of new life. It's going to be refreshing in more ways than one. So if you're curious about why people get dunked or sprinkled with water in churches, or you just love playing in water, tune in for that one. As we close our episode under this imaginary night sky, I want to thank you for joining me on this starry journey. Just like Matariki brings people together in Aotearoa, knowledge and wonder can bring all of us together around the world. Take a moment tonight, if you can, to look up at the sky, even if it's just from your window. Find a star. Maybe it's Matariki if it's visible in your area, or maybe it's just the first star you see. And remember while you're looking at it that you're connected to kids everywhere. Keep that in your heart until our next adventure. In the meantime, stay curious, keep asking great questions, and be kind. Those are qualities that shine brighter than any star. This is Laura from Faithfully Explore, Sanka Kitiano. That means see you again in Maori. Good night, little stars. Keep sparkling.